When I opened my eyes into the searing pain of consciousness, white-hot knives of agony drew my total focus to the leg I could not see, folded somewhere beneath me. My left arm was jammed into the spoke of the steering wheel, and my other arm lay neatly in my lap. I lifted my head from my chest. Confused and lost in the black of the night, I found it difficult to orient myself. Gradually, I understood that the car was tilted sideways, tipping me slightly toward the driver's side door, which was ajar and hanging down into tall, thick grass. The menacing, eerie shadows that frightened me further, I realized, were caused by the dying dome light, triggered by the open door. My focus improved, and I saw a tiny pale light shining at me from the ground outside the car, the reflection of the moon. It took me a few more seconds to realize the reflection came not from soggy ground, but from the slowly rising tide, weaving into the grasses of the marsh, now almost up to the car's floorboard. I was trapped. My first reaction was to push away from the steering wheel. I screamed at a new burst of torment and fell back against the seat. Slowly I pieced more of it together, the fragments of memory that I could find. I looked for the others, who had been traveling to Charleston, coming into town from Highway 17. I was not alone in the front of the car. On the opposite side, against the passenger door, was my cousin Pendleton, motionless, unmarked. Claire! Claire! With all the strength and resolve that I could muster, I strained to turn my head to look over my right shoulder. Even that slight movement took its toll, and shards of pain detonated along my leg, roiling over me in waves. I sucked for air, fighting unconsciousness. In the dim light, I saw too much. The passenger on the opposite side of the back seat, Claire's younger stepbrother, Philip, was slumped on his side, hair matted with blood, his face shattered beyond recognition. The window beside him mashed against rough concrete. As Philip fought to breathe, bubbles of blood snapped from his nostrils. I yelled again for Claire. Still no answer. I twisted to look behind me to the left side of the back seat, disregarding the new dimensions of agony. Was she there? With a wrench of desperation, I finally saw it was empty. I yelled one more time. Only the night noises of frogs and insects answered. Blinded by a car's headlights that swept the corner, showing the serrated edges of the marsh grass waving in the night breeze, I was unaware of the passage of time as I faded in and out of my torture. I fought for clarity, and as the beacon showed me the crumpled mass of the front end of the car that trapped me, I was able to take it all in, seeing the hood sprung, bent, and twisted, where it had slammed into the base of a bridge. How long have we been here? Where is Claire? When a second set of headlights flashed over the car through the open door, I briefly saw my leg and realized that my foot was twisted at the wrong angle, almost straight backward. Just below my knee, jagged bone protruded from the fabric of my pants. I retched dryly. The cars pulled to a stop close to the wreck that held me. One door opened, then another. A man from each car stopped in front of the headlights, nearest me. "You did right calling me," one voice said softly. "I'll remember that." "Thought you wouldn't mind getting woke up out of bed, Chief, her being a DeMarion and all." "Sergeant, I already told you I'd remember. Now get a flare 100 yards north and another 100 yards south. Last thing we need is another idiot driving into a bridge abutment like this. Miracle this car didn't flip and drown them all." "Yes, sir." The sergeant immediately moved to the trunk of his patrol car, using his flashlight to locate the flares. Both cars were parked on the slightly higher ground. I wanted to call up to them, to plead for help to get me to the safety of dry ground, but my voice would not obey me. I heard the man speak to the woman in the back seat of his own car. "Miss DeMarion, it would be best if you waited inside." Claire was safe. She'd gone for help. My relief lasted only until my next thought. "And she's left me behind the steering wheel in the marsh with the water rising."